This morning, our scripture text comes from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. And it's found in your pew Bibles on page 35 of the New Testament. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But the Pharisees were silent. And he looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, and he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think one of the most difficult ethical questions that we have to answer somewhere along the line is, how do we weigh the value of one rule or one command over another rule or command? How do we value something, one ethical question over another? When I was younger, and I was thinking about becoming an attorney, one of the merit badges that I had to complete, or I did complete for my Eagle Scout, was the law merit badge. Now, law merit badge is something that you go through, you learn about the legal system, all of those wonderful things. My merit badge counselor was one of the local attorneys in our little small town in Northeast Ohio, also a friend of the family. So she and I did this merit badge together. And one of the things that I had to do was I had to go and sit through court for a day and watch. And if any of you have ever been on a jury, you know how boring that can be. I loved it. It was fascinating for me because at the time and still today, those are things that fascinate me, law and the rule of law. So we were sitting there watching the court cases, and one of the cases that we sat through was the case of a gentleman who had been accused of drunk driving. And he had decided to take a trial in front of the judge, and we're listening to testimony, and there was absolutely no doubt, given all of the evidence, all of the testimony, that this guy had been driving drunk. He had flipped his car. He had failed the breathalyzer. And still here he was testifying that, no, that wasn't the case. And his defense attorney was doing his best job of trying to help this man beat the rap. And I got to thinking about that at 13, 14 and wondering why someone would be willing to, knowing, and I'm pretty sure the defense attorney was convinced that this guy had done what he had done or what he had been accused of, why you would defend someone like that. So at the end of the day, I turned to my merit badge counselor friend and said, why would somebody do that? Why would you be willing to defend someone who you knew in the deep bottom of your heart was guilty? And her response to me was this: the man, regardless of whether I think he's guilty or not, has a right to be defended. And even though he might be guilty, I have the obligation to defend him if I'm asked. I found that fascinating. I made the determination after that conversation that I did not want to be a defense attorney, by the way. Go into business law, that was easier to deal with. But it was fascinating to me because what she valued was the right of this individual to be defended, regardless of whether or not all the evidence against him said that he was guilty. Sometimes we have to make those decisions. We have to weigh what we think is of greater value ethically than something else. I know my friend defended some people that she did not want to defend. But because of her valuing the defense of others, she did it. Sometimes we have to do those value judgments. What do we follow? What is more important to us? We have to make those decisions. And those questions arise in our scripture from Mark today. Jesus has to make some ethical decisions, if you will, about what do we follow and what do we not follow. The story, two stories we have in Mark for today share with us those things. Jesus and his disciples are walking somewhere. We don't know where. They pass a grain field. They're hungry. The disciples pick some heads of grain. It's on the Sabbath. And as we heard in Deuteronomy, you don't do anything on the Sabbath. Nobody can work. Nobody can do anything at all, except, of course, walk to the synagogue to worship. The ever-present Pharisees are appalled by this. I find it interesting that the Pharisees are just there. They're walking somewhere, and they pass a grain field, and here are the Pharisees going, wait, it's the Sabbath. You can't do that. So the ever-present Pharisees are there. They're appalled. No one should be doing this work. And then we have another story of Jesus and the disciples going to synagogue on the Sabbath. And there the man with a withered hand, and the Pharisees are just waiting. Come on, heal him. Go ahead, and we can accuse you of doing something against the Sabbath. Again, and Jesus does. He heals the man. It's a simple thing, and he does it regardless of the complaints of the Pharisees. Jesus had to make a decision in each case. Does the care for those around him outweigh the command to observe the Sabbath? You might think that being a good rabbi, Jesus would say, well, yes, we have to obey the Sabbath. We can't be picking grain because we're hungry, or we can't be healing someone's hand because they need to be healed on the Sabbath. We have to not do anything. Jesus, of course, knows a little bit better than that. Later on in Mark's gospel and in Matthew and Luke, we hear when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest command? What outweighs everything else? Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus focuses there on the caring of those around him. That's what he does in these stories. He focuses on what's most important about caring for those who are with him and about the man who is there with the withered hand. And that is more important than the rules about the Sabbath. Now, Jesus just doesn't do this and not justify what his actions are. When the Pharisees accuse him of working on the Sabbath as they're picking grain in the field, he reminds them of a story from 1 Samuel about David. Now, David is on the run from Saul in the story in Samuel, not in what we have in Mark. It's a little different. David is on the run from Samuel, or from Saul. Ugh, I'll get the names right eventually. David is on the run from Saul. And he is left without anything. And he comes to Nob. And he enters the tabernacle there. And he asks the priest, "Do you have anything, any bread at all for me and for my companions?" Now, David's alone, but nobody knows that but David. And the priest says, "We don't have anything but the bread of the presence. This is the bread that is laid out in the tabernacle in the temple before the Holy of Holies, before God, and no one is to eat it except the priests, and they can only do that after it has been replaced by a fresh loaf of bread." And so David says, "There isn't anything else." The priest says, "No, but here, you can have it. Take it and feed those who are with you and feed yourself." The priest knew that he was violating the rules, that he should not be doing this. But because of the need of David, the priest overlooked the rule and followed in the care of others. Later on, as Jesus is healing the man with the withered hand, he turns to the Pharisees and he says, "So what should we do on the Sabbath? Shouldn't we heal on the Sabbath? Is it right or is it wrong not to do that? Should we save a life or should we let someone die because we're not supposed to do any work?" In both situations, Jesus is sharing what God values most: life. God values our lives so much that it doesn't matter about the guidelines designed for the Sabbath. In the end of the piece in the grain field, Jesus reminds the Pharisees that the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for us to rest, to renew, to be restored. And if we've got to bend the rules sometimes so that we take care of others, that's okay. If a situation arises where the good of another needs to be addressed, that outweighs the command not to work on the Sabbath. Nothing is more important to God and shouldn't be more important to us than caring for someone else. That should be the baseline of everything that we do. If it's good for someone else, if it offers care and love to them, then it is what we should do regardless of anything else. Love and care should be the lens through which we make all of our ethical decisions. If the rule we violate doesn't offer love and care to the other, then we shouldn't worry too terribly much about whether or not we violate it. I imagine those rules would be made for us, as Jesus reminds us, those rules of whether we should do that or not. We are made for one another, to love God and to care and love for those around us. For lack of a different way of saying it, it's justice issues. How do we care for one another in the best way possible? We take our rest. We take our focus on ourselves that isn't important. It is important, actually, but it's just not important as caring for someone else. And I'll give you an example of that. Fridays are my days off here at the church. And I guard those days desperately and diligently. Those are my times to rest and to renew and to be refreshed. And every now and again, you have to bend those rules. For the care of someone else, whether that's to go to a hospital room, whether that's to visit someone at their home, whether or not that's to take a phone call for somebody who needs help with an electric bill or gas for their car. And as much as it pains me to do it, there are times that I do it. There are times when I don't because I'm bad that way and I'm selfish and I'm human. But there are times when I give my care and my love to the other, so because that is the lens that I should be looking through. I don't do it all the time. I really love my free time. That's a low-level example, I think, of what Jesus is talking about. Something that might be on a more macro level might be issues surrounding the rights of others. What laws should we violate to protect the rights of Native American people in their land? What rules might need to be violated so that we ensure the well-being for the poor and the outcast? Do we stand with unjust rules made by and for human beings, or do we stand with the foundational command to love others? Jesus violates the law of the community to ensure to take care of those around him. He risks himself to ensure that justice is given to those in need. The laws don't support the foundational command that Jesus follows, the command to love one another. That is paramount to everything that Jesus does. It is the lens through which Jesus lives and acts, and it is the lens through which we should live and act. It is how we follow in the footsteps of Christ. And that is our call from God, isn't it? Amen. May the glory of God in the face of Christ shine upon you, and the Holy Spirit make visible in the life in you the life, death, and resurrection of Christ now and forever. Amen.